Everybody. It was very quiet. It's good to see all of you. Thank you for being here and coming and joining us for worship this morning. It is a day that our God has given us to be able to gather and celebrate, and I thank you that you are here to do just exactly that. If this is your first time joining us in the room, there should be a connect card in the pew rack in front of you, and I would hope you'd take that, fill it out, drop it in the offering plate, and let us know that you have been here. If you have prayer requests, put them on that same card and let us know. We'll try to respond to that. If you're joining us via live stream, welcome. We're glad you're here. If you'll go to the address that you see on the screen and write us and let us know that you've been here, we'll try to respond. And you can put your prayer requests on that same address, and we'll try to respond to that. But we're glad you're with us, and we hope that you will continue to join us and be part of our church wherever you happen to be. There's a lot going on in our church and in the community right now. Happy Father's Day to all of you fathers that are here. I told this morning at the 8:30 service, I'll say it again, it is that day, that very special day, when more kids forget their daddies than any other day. Years ago, I was standing in my kitchen on a Saturday, and my son and his girlfriend came in, and the phone rang, and I was talking to them, and I mentioned that we were going to be recognizing Father's Day the next day, and they both went, you know, they had no idea that the next day was Father's Day. It just happens in this world. Never happens to Mother's Day, by the way. But that's just another one of those words. We're glad that you're here. I've already heard from my kids today, and it has been a very good day, and I'm excited about it. Do want to say one word, ask a word of prayer this morning. Early this morning, I was called by a friend of 20 years, heartbroken. His son, who works at Virginia Tech, was on the staff over there, was killed in a car accident this morning. A drunk driver crossed the road, hit him head on, and killed him. It is a very sad and difficult time for them. Of course, this friend of mine's heart was broken. We're going to do what we can to try to minister to them in the days that are ahead. This friend now lives in Stanton. I met him here years ago, but his son still lives here, and so be in prayer for them. I'm not at liberty to share the name yet because part of the family hadn't been contacted. But we will share it as time goes on and let you know about that. But it's awful to lose a child anytime, but to lose a child on Father's Day, it's going to always be a very difficult memory for them. So be in prayer for them. Also, be in prayer for Ken Russell. Ken's father died today, so be in prayer for him as well. They've had a hard time for a long time. We've got a couple of unspoken prayer requests that have come in today as well, so we just ask you to remember that not all is wonderful with a lot of people, and we want to do all that we can to try to minister to them and try to bless them on this day. We also want to remember as we gather here that this is Juneteenth. This week is Juneteenth. Tomorrow will be a federal holiday. It is a very special time for the African-American community. Right after the Civil War, the federal soldiers arrived in Texas to discover that not a single slave had been emancipated from that state. They were emancipated, freedom rang out, and it has been a holiday that has been celebrated in the African-American community ever since. And we have a number of African-American members in our church, so we want to recognize that as we gather today. Let's watch this video together.
Freedom, liberation, emancipation, Juneteenth, a time to remember what was and to dream about what could be, a time to learn about our history and plan for a better future together. A time to recognize and honor our differences and refuse to ignore them. A time to rejoice in the beauty of diversity and to celebrate our common humanity. A time to pray for equity, fairness, progress, and justice. A time to consider how far we've come and take another step forward. Together.
Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the gift of freedom. July the 4th reminds us, oh Lord, that it was for the very first time in human history a group of people came together to entrust the common people with the government of the nation. Our nation was the very first to trust people like us with the vote, to trust people like us to decide who would represent us and who would govern us. It is a nation that was born to be free. Juneteenth reminds us that it took a long time for us to decide that people should not be slaves because of the color of their skin. But today we all celebrate that, Lord, and we remember that gift of freedom that has come to all people in this nation. We pray to protect that gift of freedom and to do all that we can to maintain it for everyone that comes to our doors, to everyone who lives within this great country, to every person who calls themselves an American and a person who lives upon this planet. We pray, O God, for the blessings of freedom, because we're reminded that even though our nation may be a free nation and Juneteenth established something special for a group of people that had been considered less than special, it was the cross that truly sets us free. It's the cross that bought our freedom from sin. It's the cross that gives us the opportunity to live as free people and to live as people of conscience. And we pray, O God, that as we gather here today, that we will celebrate what freedom truly means. And that we will let the freedom of the cross ring to our souls as we gather here today. That we will let it set us free in every respect so that we might live as the free people of this world, trying to bring the freedom of Jesus to everyone we meet. Come to us as we gather here today, O God. Bless every father who is gathered here. Bless every person who needs to know your faith. Bless everyone who is brokenhearted, and help us to be the people of God to them. And let the Spirit of God fall upon this room, that we might know beyond any shadow of a doubt that we are standing in your presence, and that you love us, and that you care about us. Come, Lord Jesus, be with us here today, for it's in your name we offer our prayer. Amen. Our children can come forward for children's time.
Good morning. Good morning. Are you guys awake?
No.
I think you are. I'm glad.
I woke up 2 hours.
You woke up 2 hours ago? Well, then you should be completely awake. Completely awake.
It takes me like 4 hours to wake up.
Hey, it takes you 4 hours to wake up? Wow. Come on. Hey, man. We have a new friend. I'm glad you're here. Mama's going to sit right there. Oh, my goodness. I missed you last week. So today's extra special. I mean, it's always special when it's Sunday, but what's extra special about today?
Father's
it's Father's Day. Have you told your dad's happy Father's Day yet?
Yes.
No, not yet.
My mom made like 5 things for breakfast.
Your mom made 5 things for breakfast?
Like 5 or 4.
Oh, that's nice. Was that dad's request?
No.
No? Bacon was? Yeah, bacon. Oh, I see. I mean, today's the day we be extra, extra nice and loving to our daddies, right? So my daddy is still with me on the planet. Isn't that wonderful? Guess how old my daddy is? He's 88. He's 88 years old. Isn't that great? And I thought for my dad's Father's Day, I would make a cake. I'm going to make, but he's still with us. Our friend is still with us right there. I'm going to make a cake, and I've watched people make cakes, but, well, I think I can do this, you know? Don't you all think I can do this?
Yes, I know what's in there.
You know what's in there? So,
it looks like
okay, so I know that I need butter. Butter makes everything better, doesn't it? So I need butter. Cut the butter. Okay. Okay, Logan, I'll cut it later. I don't have time, bud. I've got to be quick. Got flour. Flour.
Open.
I don't have time. I'm in a hurry. Egg. Got to have eggs. It says to gently fold the egg in. Then my favorite part, sugar.
It's not how you do it, bro.
It's not how you do it, bro.
You're gonna be eating
glasses.
Yes, I'll do that.
Wait. Oh. Now what if? Listen, what if? Yeah, I know there are other steps, right? I mean, I know I've got to open this and cut that and crack that. I know, but I don't have time. So, what if this cake said, I want to be different? What if the butter says, I don't need eggs, I don't need sugar, I don't need flour, I'm going to be the cake all by myself? Would that? No. What if the flour said, I don't need eggs and butter and I'm just going to be the cake all by myself, this sugar. If I just ate that, would I get a little sick? Yeah. What if this egg said, I am all you need, I am the perfect food, I come in my own case, ready to open, You can do so many things with it, Logan, so many things with eggs. And the egg says, I don't need all that stuff. Would that make a cake?
It almost cracked.
You just want me. You want me to crack this egg so bad, Henry. Okay, listen. Listen. Okay, this is the thing. No eggs were hurt in this demonstration. No eggs were hurt. Listen. What if we acted like that in the church, and we said, I don't need all these other people. I don't need these brothers and sisters. I'm the church, just me. I'm most important. Right? That's not nice. That's not the way it is. We're not alone. The Bible says the church is a family. We are family. Look around. We're family. All sizes and shapes and ages and colors, we're family. And God made us family through Jesus Christ. He adopted us into his family. And he says we need each other. And guess what? Nobody's more important than the other one. Are you listening? Nobody's more important than the other. We're all important. And individually, it's just a mess. Didn't crack it still. But together, we come together and we love each other and we do our thing for God. That's church. That's family. Can we remember that? Can we remember? Yes, sir. Yes, that is 30 calories, yes, but 30 delicious calories per teaspoon. I'm so grateful that God made his family to be together and to be equal, and the recipe for church, it takes all of us, and it's going to be delicious, delicious, delicious if we work together in love. Can we? Yes. Jesus says we can. Let's thank him. Ready to thank him? Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, I love you. How beautiful you are. Do you know how beautiful you are? You are church. Let's pray. God, thank you for church. Oh, thank you for your idea to make us your family. All of us, God, these beautiful boys and girls and all the grown-ups, help us to remember we're not alone and we're not most important and we're not first, God. Help us to make you first, keep you first, and to work together in love and watch what delicious things you're going to do so that the world knows your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. Give dads a big hug. Big, big hug. Boy, that almost ran away, didn't it?
Morning, everybody. I have to do a quick shameless plug. It's summer, and a lot of our choir members tend to want to take vacations. I don't understand why, but they do. So I want to encourage you to come visit choir on Wednesday nights. We meet at 7 o'clock. And I know all of you sing because I hear you every Sunday. So I hope you will consider coming and joining us. It's one of the most wonderful, fun groups in the church, and we would love to have you join us. And you're going to join us right now because you're going to stand. Lift our voices together, because these are the days of Elijah.
These are the days of Elijah. Servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. like the sun. Let the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
That is one of my favorite songs that we sing, and I can tell that you enjoy it too. I can see it on your faces. There is a phrase in that song that we don't hear very often, and so, you know, every now and then we're singing and I'll go, what was that? And there's one in here. It's the year of Jubilee. That's not something that we talk about very often. It's not something that we learn a lot about. I think maybe in, you know, 50 years of Sunday school classes or Bible studies, I think I've heard it once. I've, you know, learned about it once. So I wanted to share it with you. The year of Jubilee was established by God for the nation of Israel. It was commanded that every 50 years, they would have a year of rest. No planting, no harvesting. They were to rely on God to provide what they needed. Also in the year of Jubilee, all debts were forgiven. And all slaves were freed. This was a command that was specific to the nation of Israel. But like many things that we find in the Old Testament, it was a foreshadowing of what Jesus was going to do for us on the cross. Christ freed us from our spiritual debts through his death. He freed us from our slavery to sin on the cross. God doesn't want us to work for our salvation. He gives it to us freely. He doesn't want self-reliance to be our idol. He wants us to prioritize rest and to trust him to provide for us. The year of Jubilee is a reset. It was a clean slate, a fresh start. Doesn't that sound really, really good? And here's the best part. We don't have to wait 50 years for it. It's today. It's every day. Jesus died one time for all of us forever. We don't have to work for our salvation or our survival. We can rest in his love and we can trust him with all things. God's not keeping an account of our mistakes and our bad decisions, and he's not holding them against us. We are no longer slaves to our own self-centeredness and self-reliance. We are restored and welcomed into the family of God the moment we believe. different story about our relationship with God and our experiences with God. But that year of Jubilee, that redeeming that Jesus provides for us through the cross, that's a common story that we all share. And isn't it a story worth telling?
Shining like the day, King of heaven come.
Amen, amen. So both my sons are here, and they can tell you I am not a perfect dad. You don't need to add to that. But we have a perfect dad. We have a perfect father. And we've even been given permission to cry out, Abba, Aramaic for daddy. When's the last time you said daddy? Right? Children, we're children. Following the lead of these precious children. Let's go together to our Abba Father Daddy and thank him for being so perfect. Everybody who's viewing from home, wherever you are, we are one in the spirit, geographic distance cannot keep us apart. Holy God, Heavenly Father, thank you for being our Father. Thank you for being so perfect as our Father, perfect in all of your ways. Thank you for being unfailing. Oh God, if I could have been an unfailing daddy. Thank you for the forgiveness of my sins and that you have covered my mistakes with your perfection, with your righteousness. God, thank you for adopting us into your family through Jesus Christ. And may we today, may we celebrate what that means to be family, to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ, to be brothers and sisters no matter what. And to remember that you have chosen us. You have chosen each other. You have chosen who your family is. So God, please, help us not to argue with you about who your family is. Help us to love as we've been loved and to remember you this day, to thank and praise you, to love you, the one who's loved us first. Oh God, thank you that no matter where we are or how we are today, you meet us right there and you love us and you welcome and accept us. And we give you all our messes. We give you our worries and our fears. We give you our mistakes, our worst mistakes. We give you our wishes and our wants. And help us like little children today to give you our trust, utter dependence, as if our life, in fact, depends on you. Because it does. Oh, Jesus, help us when we leave this place to know that we have been in your presence, to know that we are your presence in this world. May we be visible, tangible, real life evidence, the reality of you, the love of you. Jesus, please help us now. As we pray, join me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
I said, at the 8:30 service, I had never heard that anthem before. And Charlotte said, that's because it's new. It is new, and it's beautiful, and they did a wonderful job with it. It's magnificent. Our scripture today comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to its completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think of you this way, because you hold a special place in my heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the compassion of Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. That last verse was the theme verse for mine and Susan's wedding. It does hold a very special place in my heart and in hers. A few years ago, I heard a preacher who was riding his bicycle through the town when he came across a kid who was standing beside the road with his lawnmower. So the preacher stopped and he talked to the boy for a few minutes. When he did, the boy said, I wish I had a bicycle. I've never had one. The preacher thought about it for a few seconds. He said, son, I need a lawnmower. Would you want to work out a swap here? So it's the kid's lawnmower. They talked about it for a few minutes. They worked out a swap. Everybody seemed happy. About a week later, the preacher saw the kid riding the bicycle, so he stopped him and he said, son, I've got a bone to pick with you. That lawnmower won't start. I've pulled until my arm is sore and it won't do a thing. The kid looked at him and he said, yeah, preacher, I should have told you. You have to cuss it a little bit to get it started. The preacher looked at the boy and he said, son, I'm the pastor of a church. I don't even remember how to cuss. He said, well, just keep pulling that rope. It'll come back to you. There are some things in life that are bad enough to make a preacher cuss. And if you don't believe that, when you get to heaven, just ask the Apostle Paul. He will be able to fill you in on that. Paul was dealing with a slew of things when he wrote the book of Philippians that were bad enough to make any preacher on this earth cuss. For instance, when Paul wrote his letter to the church at Philippians, he wasn't sipping wine at a five-star hotel on the Mediterranean Sea. Paul was in a Roman prison, which was just barely a step above hell itself. And then on top of that, Paul was on death row. There was a one chance in a thousand that Paul was going to get out of that prison alive. He didn't know when he was going to die, and he didn't know how he was going to die, but he knew he was going to die. And the only crime that Paul had committed was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But no matter what, Paul was committed to preaching the gospel of Jesus to the world. Paul took three missionary journeys during the course of his lifetime. He walked almost 1,000 miles everywhere he went. He did that despite the fact that he was persecuted over and over on every journey that he went on. And one of the worst experiences that he had was actually in the city of Philippi. Paul was beaten with rods. He was attacked by an angry mob. He was placed in stocks that were designed to come as close to breaking bone as it could without breaking them. And on the other missionary journeys that Paul went on, he was beaten. He was threatened with death. He was shipwrecked. He was marooned. He was bitten by a snake. He was tossed into one jail after the other. He was chained to Roman soldiers for hours and hours and months on and on and on. And only the good Lord knows how many blisters he had on his feet from walking all of the miles that he walked to try to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ across the Roman Empire. Paul did the most he could for Jesus, and he paid a huge price for doing that. If any preacher had any reason in the world to cuss, it was Paul. But Paul wasn't cussing when he wrote the book to the church at Philippi. In fact, there isn't a bitter word in the book of Philippians, not one. And like I said, Paul was treated as terribly at Philippi as he was anywhere else, and yet this was his favorite church. It became by far the most loving church that Paul ever founded in all of his ministry. In fact, if there's anything that stands out about the book of Philippians, it's the fact that this letter is packed full of love and joy. And that's just amazing to me, and it's amazing when you stop and think about what it was like. When Paul went to Philippi for the very first time, there wasn't a person in that city who had ever heard of Jesus. Philippi was a Gentile city. It was wealthy. It was Greek. It was proud to be part of the Roman Empire. It was cosmopolitan. It was self-confident, and it had a temple to every single pagan god in the Roman Empire. As far as Philippi was concerned, the last thing in the world they needed was another religion. They never heard of the Christian faith. They didn't want to hear of the Christian faith. But by the time Paul got through preaching and teaching in that alien city, the church at Philippi had been born, and it had become one of the strongest, most loving, most caring, and most generous churches in the early Christian faith. So the question is, what happened? What caused that? Why was Paul so successful in Philippi despite the fact that everything was against him when he got there? Well, the reason that Paul was so successful is found in the introduction of the book Philippians. Let me read part of this to you again. From Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints who are in Philippi, grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in all of my prayers for you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will see it through to its completion. It is right for me to feel this way about you, for you hold a special place in my heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in defense and the confirmation of the gospel. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best. The reason Paul and Timothy were so successful in Philippi was because they lived what they believed. They didn't just talk the talk, they walked the walk. They modeled life, the life that they were supposed to live for Jesus Christ. They modeled it in front of that city. They became the gospel wherever they went. They didn't just preach the gospel, they became the gospel. And when they did, when the people of Philippi saw the difference between their lives and Paul's life, they not only decided to accept what Paul was teaching them, but they became what Paul was teaching them. They became part of the team. They shared the love of God with each other and with the people beyond their church. Paul and Timothy were brothers in Christ, and they were servants of Christ, and everybody could tell the difference between them and the rest of the world, and that difference changed everything in Philippi. Back when I was in seminary, my evangelism professor taught us to give our personal testimonies about our faith as a means of trying to lead people to faith. He believed that the best way to lead a seeker to the faith was to be able to tell them your personal story with Jesus. How did Jesus change your life? Most of us agreed with Dr. Miles on that, but we had one student in the class who didn't. He said, "Dr. Miles, with all due respect, I think you're wrong. I think we need to know the Bible from back to front, because bringing people to faith, nothing works better than to bring a person to faith than good Bible teaching." Dr. Miles is a very gracious man. He looked at him and he smiled and he said, "Trevor, I want you to learn as much about the Bible as you possibly can, but I also want you to remember something. People can argue with the Bible and they can argue with theology, but nobody can argue with a changed life." He said, "Nobody can argue with your personal experience with Jesus. They may not like it, and they may not believe it, but they can't argue with a changed life. When it comes to the gospel, seeing is believing. Back nearly 20 years ago, I went to a conference with a pastor who was dealing with a dysfunctional girl and in a dysfunctional family that had started coming to his church. He said this girl had gone on vacation with a Christian family in his church, and during the course of that vacation, that girl noticed the difference between a functional Christian family and the dysfunctional family that she had grown up in. He said she started to realize that the reason that she and her siblings were such a mess in their lives was because they were modeling the life that they had seen at home. They had grown up in a dysfunctional home. They had grown up in a non-Christian family, and so the only pattern that they had ever seen for being family was a dysfunctional pattern. And when they saw Christian functionality, she suddenly started to want to change her life to look more like them. And so she went to this Christian father and mother, and she talked to them about what was different in their lives. And when she did, it started to change her. For that girl, dysfunction was normal. That's all she had ever seen, and that's all she thought of as being a family. She thought everybody's family was like that. But then she saw a Christian and functional family, and when she did, she suddenly realized that her family's normal wasn't normal at all. And so she was so shocked by the difference that she started to want to change her family. She started to want to find what she could find and become what she could become so that she could become an example to the family that she'd grown up in. She didn't fully understand at that point what was different, but she knew that it was different, and she knew it was better. And once she saw better, she wanted to know more about better. That family didn't set out to try to evangelize that girl. All they did was they lived Jesus in front of her. They were servants of Jesus all the time. They modeled the Christian faith in their family. They shared their faith. They put Jesus first in their lives. And when that girl saw the faith, she knew the missing link in her family was God. And when she saw that, she not only ended up accepting Jesus into her life, but she started trying to share that love with her own family to try to make a difference. Most of the sermons that I preach will have three or four points. This one has one point, and this is it. The key to being a successful servant of Jesus is to know Jesus and to live what we know. Paul wasn't a perfect man. He had a temper. He could get aggravated. He could get so single-minded that he missed things around him. But Paul knew Jesus Christ, and he lived what he knew. My parents were not perfect parents by any means, but they knew Jesus, and they lived what they knew, and they turned me toward the faith at a very early age, and I made that faith mine when I was 16. Faith in the real Jesus sets people free. And when people become free, it changes things. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, it's easy for us to talk the talk, but walking the walk is not always as easy as it seems. I pray, O God, that you will help us to become the embodiment of your grace and your love and your joy and your hope. Because in the Christian faith, there is no room for a law code that you have to follow. And if you follow it and everybody is the same, then we are all good. That's not the Christian faith. It makes good religion. It does not make a good follower of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to try to become the embodiment of your love and your hope and your joy and your grace. Help us to believe in you. Help us to want you in our lives. Help us to ask you to come and make our dysfunctionality functional. Help us to come to you and say, Lord, I know you are what's missing, and I know I need you in my life. And so I am asking you to come and live inside me. Change me from the inside out. Set me free from whatever dysfunction is down inside and whatever it is that's causing it, and help me to become the person that you would have me be, and then help me to live my life for you as an example of you. Nobody ever said it would be easy, but it will be fruitful. Help us, Lord, to be the fruit of your grace. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Some small face, did I drink the sunlight in and look on losing as a win? Did I take the highest road? Did I repay the debt I owe? Search me now, I pray, and wash my every sin away. Before the purple sunset skies, before the carpe diem dies, before I close my eyes to sleep and pray, dear Lord, my soul to keep, before I reach the of day, I've got to know I walked your way. Before the darkness shades the ground, before the sun goes down, did I keep my word today and mean the things you heard me say? Did I make sincere amends to those I've wronged, my kin and friends? Did I seek to be more real and verbalize the things I feel? Did I think on what is good and help my brother? Before the purple sunset skies, before the carpe diem dies, before I close my eyes to sleep and pray, dear Lord, my soul to keep, before I reach the end of day, I've got to know I've walked your way. Before the darkness shades the ground, before the sun goes down, as I reflect, I must confess that I might not have passed some tests, and I fell short in everything, for my poor flesh is limited, and I regret my whole life through I did not spend much time with you. But if there's time and one more breath and one more hour of daylight left, before the purple sunset skies, before the carpe diem dies, before I close my eyes to sleep and pray, dear Lord, my soul to keep, before I reach know I walked your way before the darkness shades the ground, before the sun goes down.
That was beautiful, Zach. It could not have been a better closing song for the sermon that I've just preached. Thank you very much. And don't worry about it. Did you notice when I was reading the scripture that the words on the screen and the words that I was quoting didn't match? I lost my place completely, so I just quoted what I remember. It came close, you know. It happens to the best of us, always. If you've come here today and you would like to give your life to Jesus Christ, or you've decided to do that, if you'll come at the close of the service, we'll help you. If you don't know how to do that, come and we'll help you with that. If you want to join our church and be part of our church family, if you'll come, we will help you with that as well. Whatever you need, we are here to try to help if we can. And so make sure and come and let us know where you are and what we can do to try to help in this process. And now may the Lord bless and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and give you peace this day and every day, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you, everyone.